So we all every one of us have issues off and on with our bodies, whatnot. So let's just place it under the blood of Christ by faith, and let's together agree, okay? So right now, I pray in Jesus' name for anybody within that can hear my voice. We place ourselves under the blood of Jesus Christ. And for any ailment, anything not of God, to come under submission of the throne of God, of the blood of Christ, of the resurrection of Christ, and to be made whole and to be made well. For Phyllis, for Lisa, for Hank, for Glenn, for anybody, we pray now and we say, be made well. We say, send your mighty hand, your force of angels to come and deliver a healing for those who are not present with us. And we entertain your presence here this morning in this place, that we would say, we give you permission to do as you need to do and to wipe away the destruction, the lies, and everything of the enemy that is in the way. Father, we submit ourselves to you, and these are merely opportunities for us to grow in our faith, for us to grow closer to you, and for us to see your mighty hand move again in our lives. And in Jesus' name, we say this. Do you agree with that prayer? I do. I agree with that. So this morning, let's agree. Let's worship him. Let's place ourselves in him. Everything's already been done. We just need to agree with him. Him being Jesus Christ, him being God, our Father, and him being Holy Spirit. Let's just entertain his presence and enjoy the worship and the fellowship and everything that we have this morning. Amen. darkness.
Out of the darkness, we will rise and sing. He is faithful. He is glorious. And He is Jesus. And all my hope is in Him. He is freedom. He is healing right now. He is hope, joy, love, peace, and light. He is faithful. He is glorious, and He is Jesus. And all my hope is in Him. He is freedom. He is healing right now. He is hope, joy, in your presence, we surrender to your power in this place. You are holy, you are mighty, you are stronger. Surrender to your power in this
crowns before the Lamb of God. Sing that again. All the saints and angels bow before your throne, and all the elders cast their crowns before the Lamb of God. You're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory.
Rise day and night, night and day. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve.
Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise.
Melissa, can you put that up, the all the saints and angels bow before your throne? Okay, so on the part where it says, all the elders cast their crowns before the Lamb of God. And as I was standing back there, I kept getting this visual of everyone in here up in the front and just laying down, casting our crowns before God. And a lot of times we think, oh, I don't have no addictions. I don't have anything. My life is going pretty good. But casting your crowns, the things that you hold on to, it could be fear. It could be control. It could be control over whatever situation is going on in your life right now. And for me, that's something that I'm dealing with. With my children and with starting work. And I'm trying to figure everything out and keep it the way I want it to go. Like, I have this vision of how it should be. And there's things right now that are going on that are not happening the way I want it to go. And so God was saying, you need to, it's not just your pride, your addictions. It's not those things, it's that control. We try to control the situations that are going on. And there's things we can't, we all know that. We can't control other people. We can't control what happens in the world. We can't control our finances a lot of times. And so I encourage anyone that is, if anyone's feeling the same way I am, that is trying to hold on and make something happen that's maybe not even supposed to happen, give it to God. Because in the next verse, can you put the next one up, Melissa? It says, you are worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all. For you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. Because he's everything.
Yeah, amen.
No matter what that situation is, and even though it's not going the way I pictured it to be, because Of course, all of us know the way we picture it to be is the best way. It's not, because he has everything already laid out, and he knows what's going to happen, and he knows the things that he has for us, because he's everything. And so I just encourage you, lay it down. Quit trying to control it. Quit trying to figure it out. And maybe it is an addiction. Maybe it is fear, the fear of the unknown. Maybe it's fill in the blank, whatever it is that you're dealing with. And it may be something so simple that we think, oh, it's no big deal, you know. It is a big deal, because that little thing will turn into a big thing and just keep rolling and rolling and building and building. And until you let it go and release control of it, it's going to control your life. And so I just encourage you, and you don't have to come up here. We've always said that. You don't have to come up. You can do it in your seat. But let it be from your heart, and truly release it to God, whatever it is. Yes, don't take it back.
Yeah.
I heard that.
Come flood this place and fill the air.
us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this
love you so much, Jesus. We are so thankful for the freedom that you bring, Father God. We thank you, Father God, that it's all in your hands, Father God. We thank you for today, Father God. I pray that your spirit will rest in this place as we receive your word, Father God, as the kids receive your word. Lord, won't you touch us in a new way, Father God, in your name. Amen and amen. Thank you, worship team. Give it up for our worship leader, Glenn. He had strep throat this week, and he is still here singing it up. So we're so grateful for him. So give it up for him. There we go. How's everybody doing this week? Good? So I got a little announcement for you. We have a family member this week that had an awesome thing happen to him. After 13 years of some struggles and, not knowing which direction he was going, the Lord captured his heart and kind of flipped him around. And Brother Derek got engaged this week, so let's give it up for him. The Lord's really taken care of him in some of his personal situations, and really he the thing that I love that he told me is, him getting engaged, he goes, I just wanted to honor the Lord with it. And isn't that just so awesome? I mean, it's a step of faith that the man took, and God is going to honor it like you couldn't even believe, man. So one more time, just give it up for him. All right, so we got a couple of announcements. Friday, May 8th, which is this coming Friday, we're going to have some mentoring with Mike Parsons, supernatural mentoring. He is a guy that my dad and Pastor Josh and Brother David and my wife, they do some, it's a little nerdy thing. They call it hangouts. I'm just kidding. It's not nerdy. But it is because it's on the computer and all that stuff. And they do a hangout with him. They've received a lot from him. It's his material is what we base our Tapping In class off of. So he is going to be here to just minister to us in the supernatural, kind of give us some teachings. So we're going to have a meeting with him at 6:30 on Friday. And then on Saturday, May 9th at 9:30 and 1:00. The meeting on Friday that was on Old Natchez Highway, so the address is as follows: 93 Old Natchez Highway, Yakima, Washington 98908. And then on Saturday we're going to have two meetings here, one at 9:30 in the morning, and then another one at 1 p.m. So I would encourage you to try and make both of them; they'll be really good. So are we having breakfast in the morning or treats or nothing like that? No, we ain't cool enough for that. Might do treats, some, Well, I was talking like muffins or donuts or, yeah, so we'll have lots of sugary stuff to get you moving in the morning. It'll be real good. I had some, that Rosar's makes maple bars with bacon on it? Who likes that? That's disgusting. I saw those on, what day did we go there, babe? Thursday night? No, Tuesday night. Wednesday night we went there, and I bought some donuts for some guys, and that just sounds gross. But anyhow, so we're going to do that, and we have our Tapping In class tonight, as usual, 6 p.m., so come and enjoy that, and it'll be good. So kids can come up. No Tapping In next week because of Mother's Day, but we're going to have plenty of Tapping In on Saturday with Mike Parsons.
What?
You do? That's awesome. Your teacher told you? What grade are you in? Kindergarten? She's in kindergarten. That's good. That was my favorite grade. Hi, baby. It was. You got to take naps. You don't? I wish I still took naps. I do. Don't ask my wife because Really? Okay, good deal. How you doing, Brett?
Good.
Good. Keegan, you want to say something?
Good.
Good? You want to say something? Sure? Okay. All right, dear Lord, we just thank you for these children, Father God, and we thank you that they are the next generation, Lord. I pray that you will just truly impact them, Father God. I pray a supernatural protection around their hearts, Father God, and around their minds, Father God. Lord, I just pray that they will rise up to be soldiers for you, Father God, that they will go out and change their schools and change their surroundings and their worlds, Father God. In your name, amen. Amen. All right, and here is Pastor Mike. Give it up.
Some of this I'm going to try to control it again, so we'll see how that works. Once it's going, you go ahead and put up the first slide. Tell me it works. Yeah. Already, it's that my thunder being stole, though, you're seeing what the title is. No, it's okay. I asked you to, so no worries. Okay, hang on a second. I'll open an app, and I don't remember where it's at. And we're going to find it. You're going to be doing it today. So just go ahead and leave it right there for a moment. So growing up to become a child, I was listening to someone, and this isn't what they said. They were talking about maturing into being a child of God. And it just reminded me of a scripture that Jesus tells. And so I just did a little graphic today showing an adult really small and a teenager getting a little bit bigger and probably a 10-year-old getting bigger yet, and then a little child becoming the biggest of all. And that's totally, how many know, that's totally opposite the way that we think, that we grew up. I mean, so having that kind of a mindset is going to be difficult because it goes completely against everything that we've ever been taught because how many times when you're a kid, you guys are still kids, parents say, just grow up, And this immaturity sometimes that we display as, kids and children tends to make it seem like a negative thing. But Jesus had another take on it, as he does with a lot of things. He made it so that it turned his disciples around to the place where I think they probably went away. This isn't on record, but I think they probably went away and said, what is he talking about? Because this is not making sense. Because he doesn't really explain himself here. He just gives an illustration, a physical illustration, and kind of messes them up, as I believe he will mess us up today if we really let it happen. So growing up to become a child, let's go ahead and take a look at the next slide. So in Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 3, we have Jesus here saying, at that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven? That's a good question. Who's the greatest? Who's the chief? Who's the head honcho, Jesus? Who's going to be the one, that is, sometimes sitting at his right hand is what some people think of, or sitting at his left hand. Who is going to be greatest, Jesus? And I'm sure they were probably all thinking, well, we've been with him. We've been following him. There's got to be someone among us that has that label. So who is it, Jesus? And Jesus says, well, guess what? I'm going to show you something. He says, calls a little child to him. And then he set him, the little child, I don't know if it was a boy or girl, right in the very midst of them, in the center of all these great men. Because, they had to have been having some egos go on. They're with the one that calmed the storm. They're with the one who walks on water. You know, I'm sure they probably had some ego. Anybody think that maybe before the Holy Spirit, these guys had some egos going? Yeah, and so just like us, and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." So unless you become like little children, and all of us pretty much in here is a few little ones, but if you think about it, we're pretty old, you know, except for a few teenagers. I mean, we're all at an age where we consider ourselves, you know, adults. And to think of becoming a little child is against the grain. I don't know about you, but it is for me. And yet Jesus is saying right here, unless you are converted. Now, converted could mean changed, turned around. I believe that when we receive Christ, there's a part of us that has to be like a little child that's saying, you know, I need God, I need salvation, I need his forgiveness, I need him to help me with my life, it's all messed up. So I believe that that's something that we do as believers. When we come to him, we do come to him with needs and with open hearts, and we receive him. But then, you know, it's easy after a while to let the old nature come back, the old ways come back, and we start acting mature again. We start acting like we know what's going on. And Jesus says that we have to become as little children. So I want to talk to you today about still becoming little children, growing up into becoming a child. Now again, some of you are saying, "Pastor Mike, what does that mean?" Well, that's a good question. Let's go ahead and go on to the next one. What does it mean to become a child? What does that mean? Jesus, I mean, you said him in front, you said, we have to become like this little child to enter into the kingdom of heaven. What does it mean to become a child? Let's take a look here. Okay, this is what it means. We're to fight over things. We're to pull hair. I mean, you know, that's what we think sometimes as little kids, right? I mean, they can sometimes be, you know, into mischievous things. They have a selfish nature sometimes. I mean, I don't believe that's what Jesus is talking about when he says to become his little child. I hope that's not what he's talking about. Now, sometimes the church looks like that's what he's talking about, but I don't believe that's what he had in mind. Go ahead. Sometimes we think, oh, just to play. Be carefree, right? Not have a worry in the world. Remember, as little kids, we didn't have a worry in the world, right? I mean, maybe we did, you know, I lost my toy or something like that, you know. You know, someone's got something that I don't have, you know. There was some, but pretty much, how many of you as a little kid worried about how your parents were going to pay the bills for their house? Most kids don't, right? They go to bed at night, they feel the comfort of the home, they feel their warm bed. Now, sometimes I know that some kind of kids are part of families that are homeless, and they don't have that, but even in the United States, there's usually shelters that they have. I mean, they're probably not the one concerned about where they're going to be that night. They're trusting their parents, right? You know, maybe just coloring with your friends and stuff. I still don't think this is what Jesus had in mind when he talked about the heart of a child. So let's go to the next one. I think this is the crux of it. Jesus says in 4, "Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child." Oh, now we're getting to the key. It's about humility. Now, isn't this interesting? You remember last week we talked about what? Entering into his rest. And one of the key ones that we talked about, other than unbelief, was humility. Having a heart that was willing to lay down, you know, their pride, lay down their ego, lay down what they think that they need to do or what they think they need to do to make themselves successful as a Christian. We're to rest in him. So this is what this is talking about, humbling ourselves. And it says, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So again, the disciples are looking at each other. What? What does that mean? You mean it's not those who raise the dead, Jesus? It's not those who cast out demons? It's not us who have been following you for 3 years. We've left our families or however long they had been with them by this time. I mean, it's not that. No, it's not that, guys. It's something to do with your heart. It's something to do with the way that you view God. And I believe that's the key. Because how many know that Jesus had the heart of a child? You don't necessarily see it all the time. You know, he's challenging the Pharisees. You see him, you know, going through the crowds and just releasing his whole life unto them. He doesn't appear as a little child. But as it is to the Father, he was as a little child. Let's go to the next one. Oh, wait, go back one more time. I want to finish this last part. Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. Okay, go ahead. What does it mean to humble yourself as a child? I believe it means this. To take the hand of the one who's going to lead you. To grab hold of the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. I love this one picture because it shows little toddler, all they need to do is have a finger and they're going to hold tight. Because why? There's a need to be protected. There's a need to be secure. There's a need to be safe. There's a need to be guided. Now, what when those are a little bit older, sometimes, you know, as they get older, you have to say, you're going to still hold my hand as we cross the street, you know. There starts to be a resistance. Isn't it amazing? As we get older, we become more and more self-reliant. We become more and more determined that we can do this on our own. And how many know that as Christians, that is one of our greatest fallacies? It's one of our greatest weaknesses. Because we bring into our Christian faith this, I can do it. I'm strong enough. I'm brave enough. I'm courageous enough. Jesus said, I'm victorious. I'm an overcomer. Yes, but it's only when we're holding on to his hand for dear life. I'm talking about for dear life, not letting go. Putting the indents on the hand. But making it so that you're not going to lose him in a dark, dreary, hard place. And that's why it takes this heart to enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, the kingdom of heaven is an interesting subject because some would think that the kingdom of heaven is already here. We've already entered into it. There is some truth to that because when Jesus came, he brought the kingdom of heaven with him. His godly reign and government has come here. But for us to enter into that dominion, because it is a dominion, it's a domain that he has. Even though we're here in the natural, it looks like everything is the same and it looks like there's no difference. When we, in our heart, hold on to the Father's hand, when we forsake all in our heart and not try to do this on our own, when we enter into his rest, we enter into his kingdom, his rule and his reign. We enter into his dominion. We enter into his dimension. Because see, the kingdom of God is like a dimension. It's like a realm. I mean, you could say, yes, it's here. We can't see it. It's not tangible. But it's just as real as if we could see it. But we have to enter into it by faith, number one. Faith is the key. Because you can't do anything without faith. And believe me, you can't enter into something you can't see unless you're going to use faith. You're not going to grab hold of someone's hand that you can't see unless you do it by faith. And this is all a work of faith. This is all a work of God's grace. And we have to submit to it. We have to yield to this process of becoming a child. We have to yield to this process of letting God raise us and nurture us and mature us into being children. I know that sounds odd, doesn't it? Got to grow up to become a child. But that's really the key because the child heart of one that desperately needs Father God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, in full reliance is one that is going to be the greatest. And how many know that we can all be the greatest? How can that be, Pastor Mike? How can? Because if we all get to the place where we forsake our own ways, we don't try to do it ourselves, we enter into the rest of the Lord, we will be greatest. And we will rejoice in each other's greatness. We won't say, well, they're great and I'm not great. No, we'll rejoice because our hearts, our motives are pure. Our motives are pure. Our desire for the things of God are pure. They're not so that we can, for lack of a better term, go up some scale over people. It's so that we can become the servant of all. So Jesus demonstrates the heart of the child what when he washes all the disciples' feet. That doesn't make very much sense because we can't picture a real child, you know, washing people's feet. But there's certain kids that you see, they get something and they'll just go give it to somebody. Huh? Yeah. Alec? Very good. Yeah, he's a servant. He wants to help. And I'm sure sometime to his own detriment. You'll just give. You know, I was with Ada yesterday and she took a 20 and gave me a 10. Now, it wasn't her money, but she still, once she got one, okay, well, you can have the other one. She was so free to give other people's money away. It's just so cool. But the point being is that there's a heart that we need to have. And we can't just decide, well, I'm going to have this. It's a process. That's why that word become is so important. That it's not, I wish it was just like, again, we're there. We're children of God. We act like it. We live like it. But it's a process, and we have to continue to reject our thoughts that we're in control, reject our thoughts that we're not going to make it, because we are going to make it. If God is for us, who can be against us? I mean, if he's on our side, what can be against us on the other side? Well, you say, well, the enemy, problems, but if he's for you, those will not succeed. They will not have the victory in our life. We will achieve greatness in him. But not in our own strength. Not in our own strength. Not by how much we read the word, how many prayer meetings we go to, how many Bible studies we attend, how many sermons we've preached. It's not going to be it. It's going to be that clinging with everything that we have onto the hand of the Father. Just holding on for dear life. One hand, Jesus. One hand, Father God. You know, it's great sometimes you see parents have their kid right between them. They're not getting away. And we can do that. Jesus, you hold me. Father, you hold me. I mean, but it's a yielding. It's a surrendering. It's an act of faith. How many want to be like Jesus? Huh? I mean, that's our desire, to be like our Lord and Savior. I mean, he went to the cross so that we could be forgiven and cleansed and purified from all unrighteousness and made holy, but then so that he could empower us with his spirit of life, and we could overcome what the old nature had. We can walk in the fullness of who he is and become new creations. We're new creations, but we become new creations. As we walk into that new creation, we become children. Little children. Not the kind that pull their hand away because you're trying to hold it. I'm sure as many times God's grabbed our hand and we go, oh, no, I can do it. You know, I can cross this street. You know what I'm saying? We'll share that. No, I don't like to share when you... Hang on. We can start a share time here. We had one last week, so...
Well, as he was seeing the picture about the father and about Jesus and how the little kid is between the two. How many of us as parents have let our kids swing and, you know, the 1, 2, 3, and they get to kick themselves up. And that's what God wants us to be. He doesn't want this Christian life to be so heavy, so hard, that we don't have a carefreeness about ourselves in that. And it comes down to really what Michelle's talking about this morning is giving up control.
Yeah.
So that he's in control. Because, you know, it says if we do, he will guide our steps. He will be the one that will lead us into all truth. And that sometimes that comes to just determining in our mind we're going to have a carefreeness of believing what he says about that, and that he's going to lead us into good things and not hard things and bad things. There will be hard things, but I mean, with him there, it won't be so hard. Do you know what I mean? I mean, it's amazing.
Exactly. If God is for us, who can be against us? I mean, that's something we need to remember in our heart. Because a lot of times it does start to look like our life is out of control. It starts to look like we're not going to make it. But that is not the truth. That is not the truth. We will make it. In him, as the heart of a child, as a child, we will make it. But we have to have full dependence on him. Here's another picture that reminds me of the heart of a child. Sitting on the Father's lap. Just holding and just pouring in affections. You know, that's something that we need to learn to do as Christians. You know, it's easy to come on Sunday, I love you, Lord. Oh, everybody's singing, and yes, the music's good, and I feel the feeling, and yes, Lord, I pour my love on you. And you mean it. You're not doing it just as lip service. You mean it. I pour my love on you. But I'll tell you what, Monday morning, when boss man, who has an attitude as big as the Grand Canyon, starts, you know, pouring his stuff on you, you're not ready to pour your love on God. But that's the time to pour your love back to him. That's the time to say, oh, I love you, Jesus. You don't have to say that out loud, because you may just totally offend them and you won't have to worry about your boss anymore. No, but I'm saying in your heart, just start saying, you know, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Yesterday, I had a few moments, and because I've been really wanting to just remember him during the day. You know, I thought, well, I could set an alarm. And I know people that do that. They set alarms so that they can have a moment to remember God. But I've been just wanting it to be like something natural, and I've really been desiring that. I've been praying for a grace for that. And there were 3 times yesterday that I was just right in the middle of everything I was doing. I was in a crowd of people, and I just took a moment, and I just enjoyed him. Kind of smiled in my heart and just said, hey, you're here. You're here. You're my dad. You love me with an everlasting love. And I just thank you. And I just said it in my heart. A couple times I said it out loud because nobody else was around. But I just acknowledged him. I, you know, so to speak, I sat on his lap. You know, I mean, obviously we can't sit on his lap all the time. Because there's people that we talk to. I mean, maybe we'll eventually get to that place where we can just say about Jesus that he was in the bosom of the Father when he was here. And so to me, that looks like being in the bosom of the Father. Just a place of safety, a place of rest, a place of, hey, you know what? I don't have to worry about this because I'm only going to do and say and be what my Father wants me to say, do, and be. We always see that, Jesus saying that. How could he say that? How could everything? It's because he was in such a place that he couldn't do anything else. Wouldn't that be awesome to be in a place that you don't have to worry about, oh, what am I going to do? I hope I don't do that. And, you know, just trying to be good all the time, trying to make it work out, trying to have that perfect Christian walk so that everybody else can be impressed. So that everybody else can be convinced. And if they're convinced, then I've got to be convinced as well, right? How about this? How about just saying, you know what? I'm just going to get so close to you, Lord, that I don't care about all these things. I'm going to quit trying to be good. I'm going to quit trying to do things right. The key word is there, try. Because if you're in him, you can be good. You can do things right. You can make it. You guys, just as much as Jesus, I can just as much as Jesus, only do and only say and only be who God the Father wants us to be. I believe that is a possibility because he is the firstborn among many brethren. He is the new creation that we are to be exactly like. Not, we kind of have some reason. No, we can be exactly like him because that's what he accomplished. He made it so that sinful man becomes glorious man in his image. But the only way we do that is sitting on the Father's lap. We have to be in that position. We have to be in a place where we are totally at ease in God. And some of us, that's hard because we have been sold a bill of goods that God is unapproachable. And nobody would say that here. But how do we live? That's the crux of the matter. That's where the rubber meets the road. We can say, oh, God's fully approachable, but if we don't approach him, I mean truly approach him in his glorious fire, in his magnificence, and know that we have free access to him anytime, no matter what we've been doing. Knowing that when we get in his presence, we're not going to want to keep doing what we've been doing. No, let's do this, Pastor Mike. Let's get fixed, and then we can go see Jesus and God. Could be a while. Might be a long time before you actually get brave enough in a condition that you're worthy to go stand before him. Because if any of you are going to see Jesus or the Father or come before his throne of grace in time of need, based on your own righteousness, it's a problem. It's no good. Let's go ahead and go to the next one. Jesus says here in another place, "Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." So here we have another illustration that we have to now not only become little children, but we need to receive this glorious kingdom of God with the heart of a child. And that word receive means to receive it in such a way that we honor it, we give it value, we give it place in our life. It's not just, oh, I just received this, you know, thank you, and, you know, I'll put this over here, and one of these days maybe I'll... No, we receive it in such a way like, oh, my goodness, this is the kingdom of God, and it's been given to me. Father, you've entrusted me with this gift. I ask you to help me to wield the gift of the kingdom of God in a way that brings you honor, that brings you glory. See, the kingdom of God is a dominion, but it's something that we enter into. You know, I was thinking about this. If you think about Jesus standing at the door and knocking, you know, anybody home? Ooh, I'm here, but I'm just going to like kind of be quiet and maybe he'll go away, you know. No, he just keeps knocking. He knows you're in there. Anyway, so You have to open the door. And you can say, oh, hi, Jesus, yes. Wow, the place is a mess. Can you come back tomorrow? Because I'll clean it up for you. I'll stop that stuff I was doing. No, he's going to want to come in. Now, there's two ways that you can bring him in. You can bring him in and you can stand around, you know, like, okay, I just want you to leave as soon as possible. I don't want you to tour the house. I don't want you to see my business. Even though you know my business, I still don't want you to see it. Or you can do what he says. He wants to come in. He wants to sit down and have supper with us. One of the most intimate things that you can do with family is have supper together. You know, you think about it. You invite friends over, someone that maybe you're starting to come into relationship with, and what an honor to be invited over to sit and have a meal with you. It's a place where the walls are laid down and you're exposing your cooking techniques. And sometimes, you know, it's like, this is me on a plate, you know. But what I'm trying to say is that is an intimacy, and Jesus wants us to receive the kingdom just as if we would receive him into our home. And see, because he is the kingdom. And folks, he's already there. That's the whole thing. You know, we think that Jesus is out there trying to get in. No, he's just trying to get to the place where we realize he's there. You know, you read about the Laodicea church, and, you know, you read about how they thought they had all this stuff together, and yet they were really naked and poor, and, you know, they were on the ropes, but they had no clue. Why? Because they had forgotten how to become children. They forgot how to rest. They forgot how to quit doing things in their own strength. And I'm done. I am done, so done with doing things in my own strength. I may do it sometimes, but it won't last long because I'm just done. Because I haven't accomplished much in my own strength. Yeah, I can say that I've done things, and you know, and but you know what? Without being able to have a heart that wants to sit on Daddy's lap all the time, am I really going to be able to be great in the kingdom? At least the kingdom of God that I believe God wants on the earth in this day, where it's not just about our, you know, our do's and don'ts, and it's not about what we've accomplished, but it's about just who we are. We're his kids. You know, that picture of that dad, I mean, you can feel when your kids just want to, you know, hold you and they just want to be near you, that you sense that. Now, of course, as they grow up and get older, I mean, that's gets more and more trickier. That's what happens. We grow up. And gets more and more trickier because it's almost like, well, I've been doing this a long time, Lord, 30-something years. I should have it down right now, you know. I shouldn't have to sit on your lap. No, folks, what he wants today is for a people that will sit on his lap. He wants a people that will just cling on to his hand and just hold tight and not let go and embrace everything that he is. And embrace everything that you are in him. And to set your mind on him. You know, even when the boss is being naughty, we'll put naughty. Or your spouse, or your family, or your whatever, fill in the blanks. Or you've gotten some bad news, a bad report from the doctor. What a time to say, you know, I love you, Father. I love you, Father. I'm in your hands. And I'm holding on to your hand. I'm not letting go. Go ahead. Here's another one. 1 Corinthians 14:20. Brethren, do not be children in understanding. So don't be little children in our understanding. In other words, don't be just ignorant. That's not the kind of children that I'm talking about either. He says this. He says, however, in malice be babes. In other words, in evil, be like a baby. But in understanding, be mature. See, we can be, I mean, Jesus was the most ultimate in understanding, the most ultimate in wisdom, the most ultimate in the knowledge of the Lord. He had the seven spirits of God fully working in his life, and he submitted himself, he yielded to, and he loved, and he cherished, and he savored the fear of the Lord. But he still had the heart of a child. Who would say that Jesus is the greatest in the kingdom? He is. So he must have the ultimate heart of a child. And I know this is a difficult thing for us to grasp in our natural mind. This isn't something that you can figure out in your natural mind. Gain your own understanding. This is something you have to receive by the Spirit. These are spiritual words here. These aren't just natural words. They're spiritual words. And we have to discern them, and we have to give them the weight spiritually that they deserve. not in the natural. Because in the natural, you'll toss them out. You'll say, you know, it's a good message, but I don't understand that. That makes no sense. Sure. To our natural mind, but to our spirit. To who we really are. See, that's who you really are. Who you really are is spirit. And your soul is going to go along for the ride. But your spirit. So if you let your spirit hear this, he'll help you work it out. Holy Spirit will help you work this out. Because this is his desire, that his children know him as a little child. And that we cling to him in such a way that we walk a life that is unlike we've ever walked before. Not because we determine. Oh, how many times have I done that? Oh, I've determined. Anybody else been there? Oh, I've purposed. And it works for about 2 days, 2 weeks sometimes, even a year. But after a while, oh, where'd my determination go? Because I don't have the strength anymore. No, you won't have the strength anymore. You'll get weak. You'll get disheartened. You'll get mature again. You'll grow up. And you know, it's not a pretty sight. Because that's when we start pulling toys from each other. That's when we start pointing fingers at each other. That's when we start talking bad about each other. But the heart of a child will see each other like God sees us. And all our problems and all our mistakes and all our fallacies. And we'll see the richness of who God has made us. And we'll treasure each other. We'll honor each other. And you know what? Guess what the world sees then? They see the love of God. They'll know that you're my disciples. Because why? The love you show for one another. Not a put-on love, but a love that comes from being a child of God. You can't help but love someone the right way if you're his and you're staying in him. Go ahead. So growing up to become a child. I want to give us an opportunity again to cast our crowns. To, you know, put the self's ability, self-righteousness, whatever you want to call it. I've always thought, you know, that was interesting that Michelle said casting our crowns, and I've always thought that that's, you know, and it's true, in heaven the elders cast their crowns, but you think about it, our crowns here on the earth a lot of times are our own works, our own things that we've achieved, our own glory. And God just wants us to just set him at his feet and get on his lap and say, you know what, Daddy? You can have that crown. I trade that for relationship. I trade that for intimacy. I trade everything that I've ever done and ever known, ever proven to be a good Christian, I trade it at your feet for your heart. See, that's what he wants. For all we know, that's why they're casting their crowns. They're saying, hey, just want to know you more, God. I mean, I see you all the time, day and night. I see who you are. And I know there's more to you than what I know right now. So here's this crown again. Is Glenn here? Did he go? He left. Okay. I have to play the guitar? No. It's okay. We'll let the music hang in our heart. You know what? We don't always need the right song. All we need is the right heart. So, if you would stand for a moment, and Michelle's right, we don't have to actually come forward, but if you feel that will be a kind of like a door that you're walking through. If you've heard in this message, you know what, Lord, I really need to become that child. I really need to just sit on your lap. I really just need to just rely on you and grip your hand and not let go. I mean, if you're sensing that, if you're sensing that you want to step beyond your own successes, your own failures, and just trust Jesus and just trust the Father and just sit in his lap, then, you know, let's just by faith right now, these crowns that have been our own works, these crowns that have been our own doing, that have been, even though inspired by him sometimes, we then would take over in our own strength and we would achieve something that became our identity. Let's just take those today. Let's just lift them off our head and just say, Jesus, Father, I set it at your feet right now. I set it at your feet, Jesus. I set it at your feet, my Lord. And I just ask that as I give this to you, everything that I've achieved in my Christian walk, I set it at your feet and I ask that you would now allow me to trade this for your heart. Trade this for relationship. Trade this for reality, Lord, of who you are in my life. And Jesus, Father God, help me to learn to hold on to you. When everything else looks like it's falling apart, help me to hold on to you. Help remind me during the day, Holy Spirit, to smile at God. Give him a high five. Give him a thumbs up. Help me, Lord, to remember that you're there with me. Even during the most difficult times, you're there. So as we've traded now these crowns of ourselves, Lord, we now ask you to transform them into reality of relationship with you. And we thank you, Lord, that you will not disappoint as we honor you in giving you all. You honor us in giving yourself in such a way that we'll never be the same. And we just thank you, Lord, for this moment. And we record this in our heart. And we'll recall this when it seems like we start to pick up the crown again. We'll remember we've set it at your feet. And that we now are in love with relationship with you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So I'll just look up and just give God a smile. Thank you, God. Thank you for being in our lives. Thank you, you haven't left us alone. Just receive all that you are right now. Just receive the weight of your glory right now. Transform and change us, God. Make us into new creatures. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. You can continue to wait in his presence. You don't have to rush. But I encourage you, as I like to always, you don't have to wait to come to church to have church. You don't have to wait to come to church before you sense the presence of God. He's there with you. Just start acknowledging it. Just start saying, you are here. You are here. Your word says it, so I'm going to believe it. So I'm going to shake your hand. I mean, just do something out of the ordinary. I'm going to hug you. Where does he live? He lives inside. I'm going to hug you, God. You know, just do things that are a physical action, that how you would normally show love to someone else. You're saying, well, Pastor Mike, that's weird. You know, who cares if it's weird? If that's what it takes for you to grab hold of the fact that he's in you, that he never leaves you, that he has an abiding presence in you, then that's a good thing. God bless you all. Have a great day. Remember, tonight, 6 o'clock, tapping in.